from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I also think it's going to be very difficult for them to even duplicate last season because of how hard their schedule is. And I feel the same way about the Pirates. Their schedule's a bitch, man. Their schedule is really hard.
You think people are aware of how gauntlet, like, grueling it is?
Well, I heard
up?
Donnie do a show, because I'm always paying attention to Donnie, where he, like, went over every opponent in the second half of the season, and I think the opposing win percentage is either the highest or second highest in all of baseball, which is just like the Steelers.
Here's what it is for the next couple of weeks. One more with Houston, three with Arizona, the Padres, the Dodgers, the Padres again, Seattle, they're chasing it, Texas, Cincy, Chicago Cubs. Guess what? Then to start wrap around the end of August, it's Cleveland. They're ridiculously good. You get the Cubs again.
Okay.
You get Washington. Okay, that's a brief soft spot, you hope. Miami.
When is that? What's the date on Washington?
Early September, Washington and Miami. You get a little run of games.
So early September will be the first time from now until then, unless something changes with the Reds or Cubs or other teams, go into the toilet. But right now, it looks like that they'll go a month without playing a bad team.
Correct. They go. Their season, I think, is probably going to be determined by, do they somehow tread water through Arizona, San Diego, then Dodgers and San Diego?
And I don't know,
again.
Chris, I would have told you a month ago. Well, I did tell you a month ago when we were going over machinations of what kind of trades the Pirates could make, what they needed to do, take advantage of this year. We were under those were under the auspices of these teams going for the wild card stink.
They're going to fall back to the pack, but now suddenly the Diamondbacks are really good.
The Padres are red hot and made trades.
The Mets
ever
really
since
good.
Grimace throughout that first pitch are
the
a juggernaut.
The Braves have not yet fully faltered, and I don't think they're going to falter so much that they come way back down to be a 500 team. So now out of the four teams that the Pirates are chasing, because they're tied with the Cardinals now, out of those four teams that they have to leapfrog one of, it's a tall order. The one thing that I like about the schedule is if you're puffing your chest a little bit and feeling like this team's pitching can take on anybody, then guess what? You should like the fact that you get Arizona again, the Padres twice, because that's your chance
the teams you're playing against.
I call them a 2-for-1 situation. You take
double your pleasure, double your fun,
double like the double flavor of double mint gum.
Donnie, do you remember those commercials?
Yeah, I do. When I was a kid.
Yeah. They put hot twins in there.
Yeah, blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Something,
yeah,
savor the flavor. It's double your pleasure, double your fun. It's the something of double mint gum.
Yep.
Can't remember
great
the
great advertising
though.
Campaign. But anyways, no, advertising works. Advertise with our show. Anyways, my point is, and yes, I think you were trying to make this point too, so I'll try to make it for you, and if I get it wrong,
you
can correct me.
I could just finish it, but yeah, go for it.
I think this team is going to finish over 500. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I still think it's worth going for, And if they don't, unless they have a swoon like they did in 2012 or like they did after the Chris Archer trade in 2018, I'm probably not going to want to rag on this team, and I'm probably not going to dub it a failure.
Well, here's something else. I would say the same thing, because it looks now like you might have... Remember we said, what did we say, 84, 85 wins probably gets it done to get to a wild card berth, right? Mm-hmm. The way the teams ahead of them are suddenly playing, it looks more like it could be 87, 88 wins.
Right.
And if you start to creep up towards 90 wins just as a barrier to entry to get to a wild card spot, if they go 86 and 76 and miss by a game or two, how on earth am I going to say they had anything but a very successful season that just fell a little bit short?
I think it's tough math. I think it's difficult algebra, as Zangrilli likes to say all the time.
Oh, of course.
He throws algebra out there nonstop. And I honestly thought that was part of their reasoning before they made trades to not going for it this year. And by the way, they're not technically going for it. If they had made strictly rental moves and we're bringing in guys for only this year, and you know they made a bunch of Beeks moves, all guys on expiring contracts, and they miss it, I might be more prone to say it's a failure if they miss out, because they would have put all their eggs in this basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted them to put eggs in this basket, but I'm fine with them having the open-ended strategy of it's for this year and next, Chris.
I think that's right. I think that they are trying to have their cake and eat it too, and I think Cherington executed trades that are pretty close to doing that. And I'll say it again. When you have Skeens, you have Jones presumably coming back soon, you have Keller. Here's something I'm trying to shake from my mindset. The Dodgers are the Dodgers, and they're really good every time. There shouldn't be a reason to fear the Padres a bunch. I know they lost 2 or 3 to the Diamondbacks and they're about to see him again. Why should we fear the Padres here specifically?
I don't know if fear's the right word.
But why should you? But like, I think there's this tacit expectation. The Pirates aren't there yet. These teams have maybe bigger names and they're better. You throw Paul Skeens and Mitch Keller potentially in 2 out of 3 games, you feel like you should win 2 out of 3
okay,
games.
That's
my point.
I know, but that's a different question.
But I don't feel like, okay, so I think people have that level of like belief in the pitching here, but then they feel like they're still going to go to those places, play those teams, and come out 1 of 3 or get swept.
Well, if you're throwing like Jake Woodford out there for
okay,
one of those
but
starts.
You, guess what? You already banked 2 wins against an Astros team that was pretty much nuclear hot coming in.
Donnie, do you agree with Zeiss? Do you hear his point? Failure if they miss it?
No, I can't get there. I cannot get there.
F- if they miss the playoffs?
I mean, maybe a little bit of disappointment because they actually did go for it, but one of the things I said last night, maybe these moves don't work out and get them over the top, but I'm not going to fault the effort from management to
right.
get them there. It's not like they completely sat around and got a bunch of middling guys that were expiring.
I agree.
I think they're going to be close, if anything. If they don't get in...
Are you picking them to make the playoffs, by the way? Am I burying the lead here? Is that how you feel right now?
I'm not going to pick them to make it right now, but I now have more confidence
Same.
That we will be going into the final week of the season, and they are very, very much... alive.
Which means they've got to try to figure out a way probably to get 4 out of 6 from the Brewers and the Yankees, which...
Could you imagine? Is that Yankee series, is that a weekend series, the last
That's
one of the year?
That's the final one of the year. Now, here's
Is it a weekend series?
Yes.
That Sunday, who are the Steelers playing? Could you imagine if they go into the last Sunday of the year?
I think they're at the Colts.
So there's a 1 o'clock Steelers game, and at 3 o'clock, the Pirates play the Yankees, and if they win that game, they're in the playoffs.
Now, here's what we could also
hope for. That would be unreal.
Here's what we could also hope for, that the Orioles have locked up the AL East, or
the Yankees are locked into where they're going to be, and they're just
And they're playing Scrubinos and Scrubinskis, but still.
The Yankees are the top wild card team. They can't lose it.
Okay, here's a hypothetical.
Still, if they needed to win that game, I mean, Donnie, you and me and Chris, to a tiny bit of a lesser extent, but not much less... We're Steelers' first guys. If the Pirates need to win that game to make the playoffs and it's going on at the same time as the Steelers game, I actually think I'd watch the Pirates.
Let me ask you this.
It also works out, though, given the timing, that you can kind of check in on the Buccos' start of the game while the Steelers game is finishing up. You know, it's like clockwork. That Steelers game will be over by like the 3rd or 4th inning of the Pirate game.
All right, here's a question for both of you. In that Steelers game, after a surprising 0-2 start, Justin Fields... appears, gets, there's a halftime yank situation, and here goes Russell Wilson to the bench. Justin Fields comes in, engineers a comeback to win the game. Pirates win on a late ninth inning home run from Telez, a go-ahead homer. They win 5-4 after he hits a three-run bomb. What are we leading the show with the next day?
Pirates. I think it has to be.
Pirates if make the playoffs because of a rowdy Telez
home run.
That.
It's got to be the
Buccos. It's got to be that, dude. The rare, rare, rare situation. Chris, we did this.
And then would we do the Josh Innes strategy where people complain we're not talking enough Pirates the whole show and you just replay the opening segment?
We dealt with this in 13 when the Steelers got off to a brutal start and the Pirates were making the playoffs for the first time. I had friends who went over to London for that Steelers-Vikings game and they were pissed that they were missing the Pirates-Reds wild card game and the start of the Cardinals series. The Pirates ripped the marquee away from the Steelers. They're doing that right now.
I just brought that specific situation up because a quarterback change would be such seismic news beyond just your average result from a Steelers game.
No doubt. I wonder how many of our listeners agree with Paul that if the Pirates missed the playoffs, then this season is a failure and the trade deadline was a failure. Well, I think Paul said the trade deadline would be a failure, to be fair. That the moves they made yesterday would be deemed a disaster.
Not enough.
You give it an F minus, that's a disaster.
He said basically you should have done more. If you don't make the playoffs, it'll be proof you should have done even.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Even more.
We want to find ways to help the team get better, and we also know that we can't make every move that comes our way. We can't accept every offer that comes our way because we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we did that. We have to be disciplined to our process. So if you're trying to marry those two things up at the same time, and when you're trying to do that, it often means you're waiting and got to stay patient and wait for deals to come to you. It can be anxious. You want to do something, but you don't want to do something that's doesn't make sense for us. So we were anxious to try to get something done and wanted to get something done. Sometimes you're waiting on an answer. Sometimes you're back, you know, you got 3 or 4 balls in the air and you're trying to sort of like be there when the right one falls. So a little bit of that too.
Ben Cherington on the game of chicken that was the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and he played it quite well. I give him credit and massive kudos for that. I thought he was asleep at the switch there and he was going to let us all down. He played the waiting game to a T. And it got us Brian De La Cruz, who will wear number 41. His number in Miami was 14, so he's flipping it because Joey Bart wears 14. Kiner Falefa going with 7.
And then Beeks got 68. I thought he wore 69 in Colorado.
Maybe they're against it because they think it's inappropriate.
They gave somebody recently 69.
Bronson Arroyo used to wear 69.
Nagowski had 69.
Yeah, Nagowski. Yeah, the big Nagowski had 69.
The big Nagowski. I forgot all about the big Nagowski.
That guy was like a create a player dream. Just.
I'm sorry,
big,
he never
husky, white guy number 69.
Beeks never wore 69 in Colorado, Pony. You can't read. He's worn 68 his whole life. Is he a Yager fan?
Oh. We'll have to ask him.
From Fayetteville, Arkansas. Do they even watch hockey in Fayetteville, Arkansas? They say things like woo pig suey down there.
And their whole basketball team is financed by the guy that owns Tyson Chicken. John Calipari. That's where all that money came from.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. You think any relation?
No, Tyson loves pigeons. I bet you he doesn't even eat poultry.
All right, Zai said playoffs are bust. You give the trade deadline an F minus if they don't make it. Is that how you feel? 412-928-9370. Do you feel like the Pirates will make the playoffs now? What are your expectations with these new guys? How are you feeling about the trade deadline 24 hours later? It was at this exact time yesterday that we got pumped and fired up for these moves. So let's hear where you're at now. Jim Leland going to chime in at 5:30. Pumped for that. 412-928-9370. Let's go with Dennis to start us off. Hello, Den.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Hey, I'll just say this. I'm probably one of the rare ones, so it's probably good that I'm first. I would not think that it's an F grade. I would have been one of the ones happy enough if they would have waited till next year and stood pat, because I feel like that's the year. But I'm happy that the theme was met, and I don't know the particulars, but that we have control beyond this year, whether it's options, whatever. I'm glad we have control on what we did beyond this year, and that was my only hope if they did do something this year.
You wanted more than one bite at the apple. Thank you, Dennis. Here is Justin and Butler next. Hello, Justin.
Hey, guys. Just calling in. I think based on Paul's take there, I don't agree that the F-minus grade would apply if they didn't make the playoffs. This year, I kind of thought was a bonus year for them. I was more looking to next year being the year that they went for it. So just to see them make trades at the deadline and go for it, I think that brings a lot of spirit back to, you know, the fans, and it shows that they're actually invested and they know that this team has potential.
I think that the sentiment of the Pirates showing with actions that they care, that they want to win, goes a very, very long way with this beaten down fan base.
Well, I think it goes a very long way pertaining specifically to the current team they have. Yes, what you said is true. They've never had a guy like Skeens. They've never, frankly, had pitching, maybe Burnett, Liriano, Cole, you felt sort of this way about. Mm-hmm. But again, none of those guys was Skeens. With all due respect to all of them, Skeens is the best pitcher in baseball. I think they needed specifically the way this team is constructed to show faith, because everybody understands how the playoffs work now, and everybody understands that if they were to get in, if they could set their rotation, they would be extremely dangerous in a postseason series, maybe two of them.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't thinking about next year yet.
You probably can get them, really, I say in two of them, but like you get them to a wild card series, they're obviously dangerous. You get them to a division series, that's five games dangerous. They're dangerous in a seven-game series.
Yeah, because the guys like Ortiz and Falter,
yes,
if they pitch like they have,
yes,
for most of the year. Sal is next. Hello, Sal.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
I think Ben Cherington did a great job at walking a tightrope with this trade deadline. I was nervous once the deadline was coming close, and then I feel like three or four trades came over in the last 15 minutes. He did a good job. I think he made sure that we could contend this year. We're not in the best position. We're still only three games above 500 and two games out of the wild card spot, so we couldn't go all in like we would if we were about 10 games over. But he walked the tightrope. He gave us a chance with control next year on these guys. These guys are going to improve our lineup when it comes to batting. And I think typical Pirates move, these guys are also utility guys. They can play multiple positions. So,
well, Kiner Falefa can. I think Cruz is strictly a DH and a right fielder, but the Kiner Falefa deal is the one that took me from this is good to great. It's a 3-WAR player, which is the same as Reynolds. And you gave up, at the time, your 29th rated prospect to get him.
It's a deal we never saw coming.
Yep.
Nobody had heard of him mentioned connected to the Pirates. I think it's a Cherington relationships deal, like you said at the start of the show, and good for him for making it.
It's not what you know sometimes, Malzi, it's who you know.
That's why my career is never
prospering, frankly.
Never really maybe gone where it should. He played a game of chicken with himself, Ben Cherington did. In that clip, he says you have to resist the urge to make deals almost for the sake of making them. He played a game of chicken with the market and with himself, and he won.
Jonathan is in Carnegie, and he's on the fan. Hello, John.
Hey, you know, I don't think my career has gone where it should either. But, you know, I'd like to just fill a pony. I don't know what friggin' Kool-Aid you're drinking, but if you're going to watch the Colts, I mean, if you're going to not watch the Steelers versus the Colts versus the Pirates coming down the line, you know, you all are going to get disappointed like my dad has done his whole life and I've done my whole life as a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, except for maybe 92 with Bonds and Bonilla and Killer
Team. You're telling me he wasn't on the 92 team, Jonathan. He was,
you're telling me the 92 season didn't end in disappointment for you? Are you a masochist?
I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to not watch, let's get behind good ownership. If you're not going to watch the Steelers versus the Colts and you're going to tune into the Pirates, like,
Jonathan, painted a scenario where if they
what makes the Steelers ownership good right now? They haven't won a playoff game in 7 years.
John, I said if they won the game they were in, I'm not saying I'd watch Yankees Pirates if they were five games out and mathematically eliminated.
I love you guys. Take my call again. I'll let you talk.
All right. Thank you. I don't know what the point of that was, but appreciate you being a listener and a loyal one, I guess.
That call contained multitudes is what it did. Very perplexed by it.
Here, you don't expect that brash talk from people in Carnegie, do you?
Carnegie's a hard-working blue-collar town. Not your kind of place, Pony. I don't know if you'd fit in there. Fish out of water. Although with your Zen in right now,
I took it out. I was getting lightheaded.
Were you really?
Yep. Donnie, you have any lightheaded symptoms?
No, I'm all right.
No, he's built different.
Here's Chuck in Uniontown, the guy that has seen some glory days from the Pirates. Chuck, your take on what the expectations should be now for this ball club.
I would be disappointed if we didn't win, but not a complete failure either, because these guys are signed, you know, past this year also. But here's the thing. There must be some continual improvement. Moves that should be made in the off season, you know, to further improve the ball club. But no, Tony, I wouldn't say this is a complete failure, because at last we've got the ownership, the management, to do what successful ball clubs, championship ball clubs do. And, you know, some time ago, I think correct me if I'm wrong, I heard Joe Starkey say that the Pirates would win it all in 26. So, you know.
Well, if you're on the Joe Starkey timetable, they're just getting started.
Thanks, Chuck.
Could you
imagine if Joe ends up being right about that prediction? We'll never hear the end of it.
I was going to say, on one hand, if they don't win it before then somehow, which, let's be honest, they probably won't, I'd be thrilled that they would have won a World Series in my lifetime. On the other hand, it would be knocked down several pegs by having to hear Joe talk about how he called it.
Will the shirt come off in studio if that happens?
Yes. Yes. I don't even want to think about that. He used to take his shirt off when he won the quiz show, which wasn't very often. But
He took his shirt off when he beat Crowley in that arm wrestling match.
He likes to go like and do the Speedy Gonzalez where he'll take his shirt off and go, ay-oh! You know, scream like really high-pitched.
Donnie likes the high-pitched Starkey noises, don't you? You call it the wheeze. You like the wheezing that happens with him.
When he has like that...
He
has like that gravelly wheeze laugh.
He'll go like... That's what he does. He'll go...
I do think Joe has an excellent laugh. He has one of those laughs that make other people laugh.
He belly laughs. He actually does like grab his belly with both hands and lean backwards like this when he's laughing. Chuck, to his point, he said they did what we wanted them to do. They also acted in accordance. This is another reason why I give them credit for their deadline. No other team really, other than the Padres, who most people agree overpaid, no other team was mortgaging their future this year.
Yeah,
like,
so it's
really
not like...
giving up. They were keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses weren't lapping them while they made commensurate, you know, comparatively small moves.
I mean, that's a fair point. Here's Jake next. Hello, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, so, you know, in terms of if the Pirates don't make the playoffs, was the deadline a failure? I don't think we can categorize it as that.
Zeiss, you know, at F minus.
Guys, I know. I think that's absolutely outrageous. I mean, we've been begging, absolutely begging this front office to make moves for guys that that will help the Major League Ball Club. And that's exactly what they did. Not only that, something that people aren't really talking about is they addressed some minor league issues. They got two guys in AAA that are hitting the cover off the baseball, that are playing particularly well, and now we have a couple hitters in the pipeline rather than just a plethora of pitchers. And really, we gave up nothing for it. I would be extremely disappointed if the Pirates don't make the playoffs. I mean, I think that everybody would be disappointed, rightly so. But to call the deadline a complete and utter failure when we do have these guys for an extra year, you know, and we have a lot of momentum around the ball club, particularly on the pitching side. We got rid of a really bad Martin Perez. You know, I think that they did what we've been asking them to do ultimately. And I'm really hopeful for the future. And, you know, I think that they both tried to make the ball club better this year and take a run at this while also not mortgaging their future. And, you know, we have a lot of years with a really good pitching staff. So,
all right, Jake, I mean, I'm going to put you on hold. You got tickets to PNC Park coming your way to see Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins.
It's sort of like that everyday version of utility. He's been a pretty much close to an everyday player for most of the last several years. Played a lot of baseball. He just happens to play multiple places on the field, so he may get labeled as utility, but it's not like the old-fashioned utility. It's sort of more like he just plays all the time and plays different spots. Short term, with Izzy, currently been on a rehab assignment, had a minor knee injury earlier, about a month ago or earlier in July. We expect that he'll be ready to play in the major league level very soon, but we're going to get him into our group and get our hands on him and see where he's at and go from there. Could see some time at second base. I'll leave that up to Shelty where he puts him in the lineup, but he can play all over the field.
Ben Cherington on the Swiss Army knife that is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, brought in from Toronto. He can play everywhere. He hasn't played first base. He hasn't caught, but he can even be an emergency pitcher. He plays every outfield position. He has been excellent this year. You go by WAR. He's been just as good as Brian Reynolds, which is astounding. And the Pirates, right in the thick of it, going for a sweep tonight against Houston and adding to their team at the deadline, which was music to everyone's ears here back in Pittsburgh. All right, we are thrilled right now to introduce our next guest. He is a Hall of Famer, both in Cooperstown, and he will be inducted into the Pirates Hall of Fame next month. We always enjoy our time spent with him, of course, talking about the great Jim Leland here on the Pirates deals at the deadline. Jim, let's start with, and thanks for coming on with us, let's start with Brian De La Cruz, 18 home runs. That is the second most by a National League outfielder this season. Your take on the power bat the Pirates brought in from Miami.
Well, I think very smart. I think, you know, Ben Sheridan's really good, and, you know, he knew that. You could see that, you know, watching the Pirates. They needed some more thunder, and they got it in a, you know, in the corner of an outfield, and that's a good spot to get it. It really doesn't matter where you get it, but that's a good spot to have it. So, yeah, big, big, big addition for them. You know, they needed some more thump, you know, to go along with Reynolds and a couple other guys. They needed some more power, and it certainly looks like they got it.
Jim, I got to imagine, though, Kiner-Falefa, the man they got from the Jays, I feel like that's a manager's best friend right there with the amount of positions he can play, the quality of defense he can provide you, and then the bat that he's given you this that he's given out this year.
Yeah, he's having a good year. You know, he's a very good player, as you say, multiple positions. I don't worry about that quite as much as everybody else does, but I like to get players settled into a position. I think when you're really good, I think, you know, if you look at Houston over the last several years, you know, Bregman played third, Pena played short, you know, Altuve's at second, Tucker's in right. So I think the more everyday players you get that play each and every day, I think the better off you're going to be. But certainly this guy can play all over. He's an excellent player, having a good year. I think a terrific addition to the Pirate Ball Club.
Jim, you've been in the clubhouse on deadline day when your bosses add to the team and bring in guys to improve the current roster. What kind of morale bump or jolt can that do to a baseball team?
Well, that can really, you know, be a jolt in the arm. There's no question about that. You know, it's kind of unique because these guys, I thought they did a great job. They're bringing back big league players.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of times at the trade deadline, you're trading, maybe you're getting rid of some players, whatever it may be, for whatever reason. But a lot of times you're getting prospects. So as a major league manager, I didn't really know who those prospects were other than the reports from the scouts or inside the organization. So I would always tell my general manager, you know, if it's not a player I know, just do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, I trusted them and do whatever you do. But in this case, you know, Ben brought in some big league players. So I know Shelty's familiar with them. I mean, he knows who they are and what they've done. So he's probably got a good feel for it as well. So I think that's a big difference. But it can be a, you know, it can be a big uplift for your ball club when the organization goes out and shows that they're trying to do something to help you get over the hump.
Is it at all tricky to, as a manager, to try to manage the new personalities assimilating into that clubhouse? Like, how did you handle that when you had new guys? Maybe if it was a good player but a big personality coming to your team, did you have any kind of specific strategy you had for handling that?
No, not really. I mean, you know, you're nice to people. You're nice to the players. You treat them first class. You know, you do everything you can to help them along and then let the chips fall where they may. But I didn't really go out of my way. We welcomed them to our club. We made them feel comfortable. You know, I'm not as big on the clubhouse stuff as a lot of people are. I know it's a factor, but I'm more worried about, you know, what they do when the umpire says play ball. So, you know, that was a bigger factor for me.
Jim, I wonder, and I'm guessing things have changed a lot. I'm sure they have, but does a manager have a lot of input on the moves that a major league team makes at the trade deadline?
Well, that's a great question. I kind of answered that just a couple seconds ago because, like I said, if they were talking about prospects that I didn't know, then really I had no input whatsoever.
Yep.
Now, if they were talking about players that were playing in the big leagues that I had managed against, then certainly in most cases the general manager would ask me, you know, what I thought of that guy, you know, what I've heard, what's his personality, what's he like, you know, have you heard anything good, have you heard anything bad, you know, all that comes into play if you know the player. But like I said, a lot of times at the trading deadline, people are just picking up prospects, maybe for a veteran guy that's going to be a free agent, a rental or something like that. So, you know, a lot of times I wouldn't know really who the prospects were, so I couldn't really comment on it. But if it was a player that was, you know, particularly in your league, then I would comment if the general manager asked me.
Did you ever try to project what that player then would look like in the Pirates lineup? And what I mean by that is, Jim, like De La Cruz coming from Miami, where they struggled badly offensively this year, and he didn't have much protection in that lineup. Did you ever think, hey, if this guy's hitting maybe in front of somebody that's a little more dangerous here, he's going to see better pitches, and you start thinking he's going to be a better player? Like, you almost expect more from the guy once he gets here because you think you've got a better situation for him?
Yeah, there's no question about that. I did that all the time. I fooled with lineups all the time. We got to the trading deadline, and I knew that we were talking about a player that I knew, and our general manager was trying to get him, you know, after games, whatever it may be, in the morning in a hotel room. You know, you write a lineup with that new guy in it, even though you don't have him yet, and see what your lineup would look like. So you kind of, you know, you kind of project what it would look like if you do get him, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress, and I think you have to do that kind of stuff. You know, I made a ton of lineups out all winter long when I found out we might get somebody in a trade or something, you know, or sign a free agent. Yeah, that all goes with the territory.
How much did it ever, like, pop into your head maybe where you'd say, you'd look at a guy who you knew about, like you said, you knew about a lot of these major league players, and he was playing in a place where they just didn't care. Like, in Miami right now, no one's going to those games. Like, the fans are checked out. Did you ever see it, or did it happen a lot where a guy would come into the thick of a playoff race and you would just see the game, his game uptick because he was much more engaged, things like that? Like the environment that he was in was just much more conducive to having somebody locked in and playing their best ball.
No question about it. I think it really, you know, gets a guy going. It gets the adrenaline going. First of all, it's a two-way thing. It pumps up your team because you're getting him, and then it pumps up him because he's coming to a good team. So it's a perfect scenario, really, and there's no question about it that you know, people like to be playing in September and October. They want to be playing for something, and yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. It's a big help, and I think the Pirates, along with some other clubs, but the Pirates just did a terrific job.
Jim, how do you view them now? What do you make of the Pirates' chances after these moves?
Well, you know, they anytime you got pitching, starting pitching, I know the world of relief pitching today, everybody talks about it, but the Pirates' starting pitching, particularly if we get Jones back. I don't really know what his status is. I don't know how long he's going to be out. But they really have some excellent starting pitching. And that, to me, is where it all starts. I was a big starting pitching guy. I know the game has evolved a little bit more around the bullpens now, but I still think that it's trending back to trying to get some innings out of your starting pitching. And the Pirates give you a chance with Keller and Skeens and the guys they got right now. They give you a chance pretty much every single night to win that game, and that's all you can ask for. And they got that. And I can tell you this, if they get in, there's going to be a lot of teams. And I'm saying if they get in. I don't know if they're ready to get in or not. But if they get in, there's going to be a lot of teams that are not going to want to play the Pirates in the first round.
Jim, your thoughts on what you've seen from Skeens to start his career?
Well, I just like to, you know, it's none of my business, but I just like to slow everybody down because you don't want to, I mean, he's handled everything so well. He seems how to know how to slow the game down. His presence is very good. I just don't want to put so much pressure on him. I think it's wonderful. He's packing people into the stadium. It's great. He's an unbelievable young talent. You know, got a chance to be a great pitcher, but, you know, let's not get too carried away where we put so much pressure on him each and every start, even though it appears that he can handle that kind of stuff. But, you know, he's still breaking into the big leagues, and it's going to take some time. And, you know, he's not going to strike everybody out. That's not going to happen up here. These guys are too good. But he's got a chance to be a terrific winning pitcher for a long, long time. And his delivery is such, hopefully, knock on wood, that he can stay healthy. That's the one thing that I look at. I really like his delivery. And hopefully he's got a chance to stay healthy, and that's going to be a big factor. That's a big factor for all pitchers.
Jim, this team has Arizona after they finish up in Houston, and then they go San Diego at home, and then the Dodgers and San Diego again on the road. So with San Diego and Arizona, that's two teams they're trying to chase down. When you're managing teams, if you had that kind of run on the schedule, you're in the thick of a playoff chase. Did you, you know, would you try to put extra emphasis? Did you act any differently or say anything differently or treat those games differently with your players or try to keep it as normal as possible, even though you knew those games were a little bit more important?
Well, I think that you know, that you got to keep things as normal as possible, but you also know the players are not dumb. They know what's going on. They know who they're playing. They know where they are, the standings. I reminded guys, it's good. You know, these are the teams we want to play because there's no shortcut to a championship. If you want to be a champion, there's no shortcut. And if we're gonna go anywhere, these are the type of teams we got to beat. And you know, not only now, but if we happen to get into the playoffs, so it's a great challenge for this Pirate Club. You know, are they ready just yet? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know they're exciting. They make some aggressive mistakes once in a while, which I'd much rather see than somebody not running a ball out. You know, they still do some things once in a while. The youth shows up once in a while. But this team, it's really fun. It's really fun to watch. Shelty's got a good pulse on it. And like I said, Ben Cherington is a very, very bright, bright guy. So they know what's going on. And the players, like I said, they know who they're playing. They know who they got to beat. So I don't think that you can shy away from talking about it. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's fine.
Jim, Shelton's come into his own here the last few games. He's pushed some buttons late in games that have fans saying, this guy is one of the reasons why we won the game because of late inning managerial decisions. It is year five for him. I'm curious, did you feel once you reached that point 4 or 5 years in that you were a better manager than you were when you first broke in? Does experience make you a better manager in the big leagues?
Well, I'm not really sure how much Shelton had in the minor leagues. I'm not sure how much he managed, but I managed 11 years in the minor leagues, so when I got to the big leagues, I saw a lot of things happen in the big leagues that I had seen somewhere along the way in a minor league game. So it helped me. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about me. It helped me to be better prepared to handle it, and I think that was great experience. But, yes, you always get better. You're always learning. I'm sure Shelty's still learning. I'm still learning today with some of the new stuff they have and the analytical stuff that I think some of it is very, very good. It's changed the game a little bit. The game has changed a little bit. I think the two biggest changes is, as far as the game being played is your pitch selection, pitch usage, and the way managers are playing their infield. Those are the two things that are really different from when I managed.
Jim, congratulations on Cooperstown. We watched it. We loved it. And we can't wait to see you get enshrined in the Pirates Hall of Fame coming up here soon.
Well, I appreciate that, you guys, and good luck to those buckos.
All right, Jim, thank you.
Thanks,
so
Jim.
Much. Jim Leland, everybody.
Right.
There you go.
Pony, I...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.